Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Be here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. I need your help today. Right to it. Right to business. Yep, Eagles got Jason Peters, and we'll talk about Jason Peters coming back. I thought, listen, it was necessary, right? The fact that you got no Brandon Brooks, that you had to bring him back. So we'll discuss that, but that's not what is on my mind this morning. I need help this morning. I really, really need you guys to talk me off, because all I hear is everybody's in love with taking the ball out of Ben Simmons' hands, and I hate it. I don't like it, and I need you guys to tell me how this thing's going to work, all right? You got to tell me how Simmons playing the dunker spot, how that works. Like, because I've heard he's Draymond Green, and I go, well, he can't shoot, so he's not Draymond Green. Because Draymond Green will shoot a three and space the floor. How does that work with Embiid? How does Simmons at the four without the ball in his hands, how does that not push Embiid up top when I want Embiid down low? You guys got to help me out here. I hear everybody gushing over this move. And listen, you know, I mean, I think Shake is promising too. I go, that's good. However, I still think my lineup and the way I want to go play bully ball is better than this. And my lineup is Shake coming off the bench with Horford, giving me real offense off the bench. And I don't have to play Korkmaz. And I got Thibault starting. And I got two really good defensive players up top. And then I'll have the ball in Simmons' hands. And I can play post up. And if you sag on him, that's when he has to attack. He attacks the defender, because there's space to move forward. And then you got Richardson. If you want to move, and listen, there are times I feel you. At times, Ben should come off the ball at times during the course of a game. But this move screams of desperation. It screams of desperation. It screams of, well, you know what we're going to do, Rock? We're going to make you fight right handed. We're not going to have you be a southpaw. I don't get it. I don't, other than a few times during the course of the game where you're going to have him really be off the ball and in the dunker spot and post up, because he's a good post up player. I completely agree. He's a post up guy. So I want to take advantage of that, but I'm not taking the ball out of his hands entirely in a set offense. So, all right, I get there'll be some movement because he's an energizer and can move. All right, well, you know, again, I like that at times, but the great players have the ball in his hands. He's the kid has to be able to shoot the friggin' basketball. He's got to be able to have the ball in his hands, and if they sag on him, just hit a free throw line extended mid-range shot, 12-footer. I'm not asking him to be Harden. You don't need to be a combo one to play point guard in the NBA. Or everybody wants to play the same way. Ball dominant one who shoots constantly. Well, what happened to the point guard? Let him facilitate. You got plenty of offense around him. You got Embiid. You got Jay Rich. You got Harris. Harris is better at the four than he is the three. So how do you get, how do you clog up? Because to me, what you're going to have is, you're going to have Simmons clog things up. Really, for Embiid. And I want Embiid down low. Embiid is a beast. Embiid's the one who's unstoppable. And everybody falls in love with Shake. Again, he's a kid. Well, you saw him for 15 games in the regular season. When who was out, it was the dog days of the regular season. And you extrapolate that Shake Milton's going to be your answer in the playoffs? And again, I like the kid. So I'm not telling you can't play. I'm saying the kid can score, right? We know the kid can score. Why don't you bring him off the bench with Horford? Then he got real firepower off the bench. You start the game off with really good defense, runouts, trying to get breakouts. You got three offensive players around those two. I don't understand it. I don't understand what everybody likes about it. And it makes me even more frustrated because all the great players have to have the ball in their hands. He's got to, you know, and this is where Brett, I mean, I don't know how they come back and this is their answer. How about he comes back and he actually shoots the ball? How about that? How about, you know, yeah, he's a star off the floor. What star? Just dunking the ball? You got to do more than that. You got to break down defenders. How in the world is that better? You got to explain to me how that's better than my starting five. Because I don't see it. I don't. I don't understand how this whole thing's better. And it kills me because, you know, again, his bully ball fallacy. He never wanted to play bully ball. Brett, and I love the guy. You know I love the guy. I do. I adore him. This guy wants to play Euro ball. You don't have Euro ball players. You don't have that. You don't have... why are you trying to assimilate with the rest of the NBA? How about you go take advantage of what you got? And that is your length. How about you figure out how to post up? Hey, big man. I'm not saying Embiid never has to come from the post. Like, I like him in the high post, too. He's got good touch. I got no problem with that. But there has to be some semblance of and be down low. Because he's a more unstoppable force down low. And let's go back to Simmons, right? Who is Ben Simmons? So here's what we know. He's a freakish athlete who's got incredible court vision. The best thing he does on the floor is facilitate. The best thing he does is facilitate. So now you take that away from him. What's he going to do other than post up? And you'll have your ball movement at times. Okay. He's got to be able to have the ball in his hands. Giannis has the ball in his hands. LeBron has the ball in his hands. Those big forces that the offense runs through, they got to have the ball. He's got to have the ball in his hands. And he's got to shoot. He's got to be able to take a mid-range game. Like, enough of this BS. Shoot the damn ball. Like, you want to save your job, Brett? Instead of going with this nonsense, how about you tell the kid, hey, dude, the minute somebody sags, shoot a damn free throw line extended shot. Be aggressive offensively. Attack the rim. He was starting to attack the rim. I'm frustrated. And I'm frustrated of a number of things. I'm frustrated, A, because I don't see what everybody else sees. Listen, you guys could all be right, and it could work out. I can't get there. Jimmy Lynam, he loves it. Legs, I talk to Legs. He's my guru. He likes it. I don't understand it. I don't know how you're better when the best thing the dude does is facilitate, and now you take that away from him? Explain to me what he does. Explain to me in the playoffs where everything slows down and you got length, right? But you don't want to play your strength. You want to shoot threes. What kind of sense is that? You have a unique squad. Play to your uniqueness. Dominate the boards. Get run outs and break, fast break. And in a set offense, you got three players who should flourish in a set offense with Embiid, Harris, and Richardson. And then you figure out what Horford is. And off the bench, you have Shake and Horford, where I got real offense off the bench. Instead, now, off the bench, I got Matisse and Horford. So where's my balance at? What, Korkmaz? If you guys think Korkmaz is any kind of asset in the playoffs, you guys are kidding yourself. When you defend on every possession in the playoffs, when it comes down to it, what's Korkmaz going to do when there's actual defenders in his face? Stop. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Ant. You know what? I was just kind of going to let you go. You seem pretty impassioned about this. And I had I was on with Devon last night, and I had an opinion, and I slept on it, and I heard your opening take. I'm starting to see a lot of cracks in my opinion, and I need to either firm them up or take the wall down.
All right, let me explain. Tunis is off today, and Tyler Zuli's in, and I love Tyler. Tyler's a great kid and a great sportsman. So let me just preface this whole thing by saying, and I listened to you and Devon for a bit last night. And I heard Devon loves it. And I love Devon, and I respect his opinion. Just like I respect Coach Lynam's and certainly Legs, who's a friend of mine. But, Tyler, I heard you guys gushing over it. And I want to hear your opinion. Before you tell me there's cracks in it, let me hear it. Because I'm open-minded to it. I'm just sitting here frustrated because at the 11th hour, this is what he comes up with.
Yeah, no, I understand your concern. I think my biggest asset to this is being the fact that, you know, as we like to say a lot of times, that basketball is positionless at this point. I understand that there is facilitation and point guard play, and, you know, the center is still kind of structurally center. But for me, with it being a positionless game, the fact that you can have a guy match up on the best matchups for him, I think, on both sides of the ball, or the best matchups for your team, is what I look at as the biggest factor in this being the move, because I believe that he could take out, you know, a Jason Tatum on the defensive side and still facilitate on the break and be in that dunker spot to play down low when they go into the half court set. Because like you said, there's defense on every possession. I think that he has the ability to battle down low with the fours and fives of the league and have success in doing so.
Yeah, he does, except here's the issue, is that what are you doing with Embiid? So Embiid's never going to go play? Because here's the deal. Embiid, as good as Simmons is, he don't have the touch that Embiid. Embiid's a force down low. And the worst thing you could do is take Embiid. Forget about centers and the whole thing. I don't care about. I'm not giving you 1 through 5. I'm not doing anything like that. I'm just looking at my talent on my team, right? And I look at Embiid and Simmons. Now, there's no problem. I got no problem rotating Simmons down low every once in a while. But to expect him to play the four and he's just down low, you're going to clog up things for Embiid. So Embiid could never go down low because Ben can't stretch the floor. If Ben had shot a three, then it would make more sense to me because, well, I'm spacing the floor. Oh, I'm not spacing the floor.
I think that's totally fair, and that's why I am, while I still defend it, I do see, you know, with your opening statement and giving some really good examples, I see cracks in the offensive game plan and in the system in its entirety. So I'm still leaning towards the side of defending it, but you make 100% good points.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I do. But help me see why you're defending it. Because again, if you have to answer the question, if Ben can't space the floor, what does that do to Embiid?
Oh, I think it harms his game significantly. But
so why? What are you doing then? Because here's the thing: wouldn't you rather have Simmons just take a 12-foot freaking free throw line extended shot?
Oh yeah, in a perfect world, absolutely.
Well, but
he's not going to do it.
Like, this is the problem. Like, this is Brett, and Brett's got to go. No, shoot the freaking ball. Excuse me, you better have your hand on the dump button because, Ty, I am livid because I don't understand it. I don't understand why you now wreck. You're going to change two other guys on your team, right? Ty, listen to me. You're going to change Embiid and you're going to change Harris because Harris is better at the four than he is at the three. Right?
Yeah.
So what sense does that make by then having two other important offensive cogs changing their games?
I think the biggest defense for me on that one would be that if you could look at the context of the whole season, the 60-some-odd games that they played before the pause, nothing worked. And they were a sixth seed for a reason. And I know that...
You know why nothing worked? Because Brett still wanted to play Euro ball. Because Brett spent too much time trying to grow a bomber and have cork mazes and firing up threes. That's why it didn't work.
So my hope, and that's all I can do is hope, is that this is a change for the better. And if it's not, and you're right, and you're correct in that Ben should be just strictly the point guard and have the ball be ball dominant with it in his hand a majority of the time, then I guess they're probably back to square one as it is, and then do we hope more, I guess?
Dude, why is it this difficult? This is what I don't understand. Why is it this difficult? Why can't... Here's your starting lineup. You got Matisse playing the off ball. And on offense, he's out past the three-point line. Because he could shoot a three. He had tired legs at the end and all. But that's where he is, right? You have Harris, who's going to create, who is a mismatch for fours. You have Embiid down low. And again, not all the time, but he's down low. And on the other side, you got Jay Rich, who can also shoot. And he can shoot mid-range, and he can shoot a three. All right, so here's your space, right? And now you take turns. Like, sometimes Embiid's up top on the high post, and you can have Jay Rich fold in and run the offense because he can run the offense. We've seen it be successful. He can run the offense, and then you want to exploit a mismatch with Simmons on some possessions down low. And you're almost alternating at times and beat high post, low post. But this way, all you got is Simmons in the low post.
Which means that you're only having Embiid at the elbow and extended.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I totally get your frustrations on that.
I don't understand it. It's driving me nuts because, like, people that I really respect... And I told you, I think you're a good sportsman, man. You know what you're talking about. People like Devon, who I love, and Legs, and Jimmy Lynam. I don't understand. I don't understand how Brett Brown, who held Ben Simmons as a child, as a baby, how can he not get this kid just to shoot some mid-range stuff? But here's the other frustration. I want to freaking hit myself in the head with a bat. There were times this year where I thought he actually showed a lot more aggression going to the rim. Right? Like, you know, when you sagged off him, he attacked. So that to me was a step forward in the process. Because here's the other point. Ben Simmons is a good player as a four. He'll never be a top five player unless he's got the ball in his hands. and the more important thing is for him to develop to be a top five player. Otherwise, what is he?
Otherwise, at that point, he's just a big point guard or a big guy, I guess, you know?
He's not a point guard because you took the ball out of his hands. So what is he?
A basketball player? I mean, there's no defining traits at that. You know what I mean? Like, there's no defining.
What kind of scorer is he?
A dunker.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, how easy it is to stop that? You're not answering.
I'm processing and trying to continue to defend my point. And like I said, I think there's cracks in it from the beginning.
Yeah, I hear you.
You're making it very, very difficult for me to stay on my side and not swing to your side.
I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm just trying to figure it out. And here's my conclusion. And again, I'll have an open mind because I love the conversation. I love talking straight strategy. I love the strategic element of any game. I promise I have an open mind, but I'm not seeing it. I'm just not seeing this. Here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a coach that has just no concept of how to play with this group. That he can't move off what he believes in. That's what I see. All right, we got lots of people I want to get to, and I'm asking for your help because I just don't get this lineup. I don't get it, and you have to explain it to me. Let me tell you about my man, Anthony Bruciano, the roofing master. Do you need a new roof? All right. Are you something going on? There was a storm the other night. It was horrible on Friday. In fact, my buddy works for the Sixers, Scotty Rego, all of a sudden had, you know, water coming in. And he's like, frantically, Ant, who's your roofing guy? And I said, Ant is my roofing guy. That's right. He's got hundreds of five-star Google reviews. Anthony meets with every customer personally to be sure you get the right roofing solution to protect your home for decades, right? He's there. He's walking you through the process. I don't trust the process now. And LaBruciano Roofing is a CertainTeed five-star select shingle master, which means they can offer the best warranty in the business. 50 years from the manufacturer, 25 years on the workmanship. Look, your home's roof is too important to trust with a jack-of-all-trades dude, right? Forget that. Go with the only roofing expert that I would ever recommend to you, my friends, LaBruciano Roofing. All right? Call 610-265-ROOF or go to paroofpros.com. That's paroofpros, P-R-O-S.com. LaBruciano Roofing, the master.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I was listening to you guys last night, in fact, Tyler, and I heard Devon, and I love Devon Gibbs. Yeah, I love. We always have great basketball conversations, so I wanted to bug him today. He's kind enough to give me some of his time at his job, and I appreciate that because I love the way he thinks about ball. We have the same passion about the sport. Devon.
Hey, G. What's up, man?
My man.
How you doing?
All right. So, not really. Because you know what I feel like? I feel like I don't get the joke. Like, you ever been the guy that you go, everybody's cracking up, and you're going, I don't get it. I feel like that. Like, everybody loves, oh, my God, shaky shake, everything. Everybody loves the whole thing. And I'm sitting there going, I don't like taking the ball out of Ben's hands.
Well, I look at it like this, and thanks again for having me on, first of all. I look at it like an opportunity to see Ben move away from the basketball sometime. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be all the time, even though Brett used the word that he used yesterday and saying exclusively at the four, exclusively at the four means that that's just going to be his position. But the ball will find him because he is too good for the ball not to find him in spaces for him to succeed. Now, we, of course, are accustomed to him so far in the league being someone who facilitates things from the top of the key as they cross half court and all of that. But if you also look at the league, too, and the dribble handoffs that are incorporated into the league, which the Sixers do quite often, the opportunity to have him in the middle of the floor, not at the top of the key, where while it is a threat because of what he can do with the ball when he's putting it on the floor, he can also make those decisions in the middle of the floor with the defense, of course, not necessarily being set because he's constantly moving. I like the opportunity to have him not in the dunker's position, as I heard you talk about, but roaming the baseline, cutting into the middle of the painted area, receiving the basketball there, making decisions for himself or his teammates, and also being able to flash to the free throw line extended to make that pass for Embiid. I know you were worried about some of the issues with Embiid and the spacing overall, but even with Simmons' passing with the ball not in his hands initially, but catching, receiving, making a decision because he is such a great passer and a decision maker overall, I think that is something that will help him in this way.
Let me go backwards and then to before we talk. Can Ben Simmons become a top five player in the league without the ball in his hands?
Without the ball in his hands, no.
And maybe I'm stuck on the fact that I still see Simmons, I still see Ben as the guy that needs to have the ball in his hands to create. And maybe I'm stuck in the, here's my offense. I want to run an updated 2.0 version of the Showtime Lakers.
Okay.
So I want to break out. I want to have, my starting lineup would be Ben, Matisse, Jay Rich, Tobias, Joe. I want to play great defense. I'm long. I want to try to get runouts, breakouts. Every time you're long on a shot, on a three, jack it up three, boom, I'm out. I'm in your face running. And then on the half court set, I want Joe to be the five primary focus. And I want Tobias to be more Rip Hamilton-esque. Because I think his best game, I think he's more of a Rip Hamilton mid-range than a three-point shooter. And I'll have, there are times, I'm saying I'm never exclusively used Simmons the way you said, and when I do that, I'll have Jay Rich run it because he's my secondary ball handler on the floor with Ben. So that's kind of how I'm approaching. Now you tell me where am I wrong, Charlie?
And there's nothing wrong with that option that you're putting out there because I've also thought about Matisse Thybulle as a potential starter. Both of the concerns with Thybulle and Chig Milton, to your point, and they're both young players stepping into the playoffs, so we don't know what we're going to get, but that being said, not a bad option, of course, with what your lineup is, having Josh Richardson be that secondary ball handler on the floor for them. We've seen it before. We've seen all of what you're asking for from that particular unit. But in this unit here, having seen the success that Shake Milton had in the nine games that Ben Simmons was pretty much out towards the end of the campaign before it was halted, I just like the opportunity of having someone who can play pick and roll with Shake Milton in his hands, be that ball handler, which is awesome, and even still have Josh Richardson, maybe not as the secondary, but as the third option as a ball handler for a lot of different things. Their offense, to me, with what Brett Brown is trying to do right now, is the movement, not being stagnant, always being on the move, everybody playing off the ball, just constantly finding a spot to receive a pass. Yes, the offense is going to run through Joel Embiid because it always should, even if Ben Simmons is the point guard. You want Joel Embiid.
Yes, that's my worry is that in theory, I hear you what you're saying about Ben always moving. But in theory, I think I get it. I think in actuality, I'm afraid that Embiid gets lost. And to me, I'm in a half court. Embiid's the sun, right? Everybody else revolves around the sun. And sure. Embiid's my sun. S-U-N.
Right. Right, and you're 100% right. Ball's dumped down to him first in the low block. That doesn't work. You'll probably see him step out to about 13 to 15 face up from the wing. If that doesn't work out, now we're talking about a pick-and-roll situation with Shake Milton or Ben Simmons. and right. the ball is going to run through them. So when I say Ben and everyone else moving, yeah, it's everyone moving. I'm looking at, as you talked about Josh Richardson, and let me throw this one at you. You talk about the Rip Hamilton effect in this offense with Tobias Harris. I'm also looking at Josh Richardson and the J.J. Redick effect and seeing him, not necessarily with the three-pointers, but remember, right around that 19-foot area where J.J. Redick would come across the baseline, he would get a pick, that pin down, he would come around Joel Embiid's pick with that dribble handoff, pull-up jumper, pull-up dump off to Embiid as he rolls to the basket, pull-up for Josh Richardson, explode to the basket for Josh Richardson because of the athleticism. While that's happening, on the weak side, Ben Simmons is now doing his thing, and if everybody is...
Why I got to guard Ben? Let me ask you a question. And we're talking to Devon. He's kind enough to give us a call. I love Devon Givens. And you listen to him. You're on tonight, right? 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
Make sure you're listening. Make sure you listen all day. Mikey Miss coming up at 2, and then Devon at 6. You got to be listening to the station. So why do I got to follow Ben anywhere outside the paint?
Because as soon as he catches the ball in somewhere in between, inside the 3-point line, he's still a threat to do what you're asking, eh? To take somebody off the dribble with his speed, catch and go. What I'm looking at there is him catching it. If he is on the perimeter, let's say he's still on the perimeter, you catch and you close out just a little bit. That downhill speed that you're talking about with the ball in his hands, he now has it differently with the ball in his hands as a receiver catch. You know, he's not going to shoot, but he's going to go. The defense is now at his...
Yeah, but real quick, I don't mean to interrupt, but real quick, if he's got the ball in his hands up top, he can still do the same thing, sag off him, he's attacking the rim. I mean,
yeah, but they set up easily with the ball at the top. Whereas as you're talking about, the ball's being, is there things being done away from him, now the ball is being opposite of him where he is, and he receives it on the catch. Now he's going to do whatever he's going to do to make a decision for himself going through
basketball
as a secondary pass.
Yeah. I think.
That's how I see it.
I know. I think you see it. I don't know. Again, I get what you're saying. Like, I totally understand what you're saying. I just think you're giving the benefit of the doubt that it's going to work, and I don't see it.
Of course I'm giving
you know what I mean? Like, in that. See, here's the other thing. We all of a sudden, I woke up and Shake is Lou Williams.
Yeah,
I mean, you mean
Lou Williams in the starting lineup, or Lou Williams?
No, in the starting. Now I want him to be Lou Williams light off the bench, right? Because off the bench, I now have Shake and Horford, right? Yeah. I hate Korkmaz. I'm being real with you. In a playoff situation, I think you're kidding yourself if you're going to rely on Korkmaz, because then, yeah, you defend.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see it.
No, and I get you with the Korkmaz thing, because it's just basically going to be a Bellinelli situation. If the defense is a problem for him, he's going to have to go to the bench again, and we'll see less of him and more of someone else. I'm not sure if it'll be Mike Scott, Glenn Robinson III, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I don't like those guys. That's why I refer. If I have Matisse starting and Shake coming off the bench, I got a better flow. I got my scoring. And by the way, Shake's going against guys in the second unit, which is better for a young guy's confidence, who's a young guy scorer.
Yeah, but you know how Brett also, at the six-minute mark, Shake Milton's right. coming out. 6-7 minutes, he's coming out. Matisse is coming in.
I know. I hate
Ben
his rotation.
Simmons stays, yeah, and Ben Simmons is going to stay in.
Like, why does he do that? Like, here's the thing, Devon. Like, why do you got to take Embiid out 4 minutes into the game?
Because he's gassed. We know it. We've seen it, right? We're talking about all of these things. We've seen it too many times where that has been the issue, because they are, to your point, running up and down the floor. They're not always in the offensive half-court set. They're running up and down the floor. He gets gassed. He has to take him out to give him a breather. And that's just the nature of Joel Embiid right now. Hopefully this conditioning thing that Brett is talking about at the top-level fitness base that he's asking about his players and Embiid himself, maybe that will change. But based off of what we know for the 4 years that Ben Simmons has been here, the 6 years that Joel Embiid has been here, and the four that he's been on the floor, that's just what it's going to be. And also, let me ask you this, though. When you look at the transition opportunity when he does snatch the ball off the rim, Ben Simmons. But then those times where he is going to fill a lane, they're on a 3-on-2 break, and they have an advantage to what the to what they want to do because of the defense, and that will just simply spurn their half court offense as well. The secondary breaks, absolutely.
Yeah, but
those types of things.
But again, I don't need him.
I see positives from it.
Yeah,
because yeah. I don't solely see it as him being a primary four man. When Shake Milton comes out of the game, and for me, Ben Simmons, he plays 38 to 40 minutes a game anyway. He's now going to stay in that game. The ball is going to be in his hand. He's not going to give it to Josh Richardson. He's not going to give it to what's my man's name, the backup point, Haun Neto. He's not playing.
Oh, my God. So, I can't see. Neto right. better not so play.
Right. So Ben Simmons is going to have the ball.
I don't know, dude. I don't. You trust Brett minutes. More than I trust Brett when it comes to
not
this.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily, because I've questioned Brett plenty of times with, as you said,
I know.
Some of the decisions he's made. Like, he's on. This whole decision, to me, is on Ben Simmons and Brett Brown from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because he never punished him, if you want to say that, for not shooting the ball, not making him sit on the bench because of something he didn't do. And also, basketball. Right.
Yeah, so because here's the thing. You're right in that we're talking to Devon. You listen to him tonight at 6, right after Mikey Miss. Here's the thing. If Ben, again, all I want him to do is take a mid-range shot, right?
100%.
Like free throw line extended, they sag. 100%. You just and you and listen. We're all on the road with that. We've seen them. You're at practice. You've seen him. You know he can do it. If he just takes that shot, then it's all mitigated because then he's the point guard. He's like to me. He's more Magic Johnson than he is LeBron James or Giannis.
Okay.
You disagree?
Because of the shooting aspect, I know you're talking about the passing ability that he has, where at least LeBron will shoot the ball. Giannis is now at least showing to shoot it.
And they score first.
Like, I agree.
Like those guys, those great players, will score first, and you know how it is. You know, Magic was pass first. Now, he would kill you no matter what. But, he also would take you off the dribble, and he would post you up, and he developed that little set shot. There's no reason why Ben doesn't need to be hardened to run the point.
I agree.
So the frustration that we both feel, or at least I think so, is that if he just takes that shot, none of this has to happen.
Yeah, and as you say that, and I know you listen, so you've heard me say this before, and maybe some of the listeners as well. With that, I try not to get too caught up in that right now, as they're in season. That's more of an even if this technically an off season after as much as time. But the floater, I want to see him incorporate that more so. The free throws, taking it up to about 70%.
Yeah,
being able to hit that teardrop, that will help him out a lot.
And
even off the ball. I think that is something that will help as he's diving to the middle of the floor, as he's cutting along the baseline, those jump hooks on opposite both shoulders. He can do those things. And if he gets to the free throw line between 5 and 7 times, hitting, a nice clip of that up to 70%, that will up his numbers. And I think that that's where they'll still be effective and still being able to run the point guard, if you will, a good amount of the game that he is in there for those 38 to 40 minutes a night, because he's too good to not be effective even in that way. And we've seen the experiment with Jimmy Butler as that guy. Shake Milton is not Jimmy Butler, so he's not going to dominate the ball the way that Butler did. And that's why I think you can still have the impact from Ben Simmons between 1 through 5, wherever he is on the floor, and still get his and still have an impact both scoring and passing.
Yeah, I hear you. I get you. Listen, you make great points, and I love you. You make great points, and I agree with most of them. I still have my doubts about Embiid getting lost, and I still have my doubts about Shake being what everybody wants him to be.
Yeah, and like I like to say with Shake Milton, and as much as I like Shake, there's a scouting report on him now, so let's see what he does.
Yep.
And once that happens, that's when Brett Brown has to make a quick decision. He's going to probably play like 22 minutes a night. He's not going to play a high number those minutes are going to be squeezed between he and Al Horford and, of course, the starters, and mixing in that eighth and nine man off the bench as well. Shake is going to be out there for a good amount of time, but I don't think with the feature being Joel Embiid that he will get lost.
Yeah.
The double teams will come. As you talked about it, with him getting that ball, the shooters have to make the shot. That's the bottom line there.
Yeah. I always go back to Brett.
Ball out, have to make the shot. Because now you're talking three shooters with Harris, Richardson, and Milton. Potentially all three shooters of those three out there on the floor with Joel Embiid. Where Matisse Thybulle, we know defensively, but offensively is still a bit of a struggle for him as well. But I like him. I like Milton.
I just like Milton off the bench scoring. Like I want him to be Lou Williams light. Like, I want him to be that. You know, whatever.
Yeah. And we've seen him explode for 39, so he has the potential of doing that from time to time. But I like what they're thinking right now. Will this work? I have no idea, but I like the idea of trying it right now in the practice sessions, the exhibition games that they have, and then, of course, the seeding games, and seeing where it goes from there.
Right.
I think that Brett will make a quick decision if it's not working, of course.
I love you, Devon. You know that.
Love you back, man.
You're the man.
You.
Thank you so much for calming me down, brother.
Oh, I appreciate it. I hope I did, man.
Thanks, buddy. Take it easy. Here he is, Devon Givens. Listen to Devon tonight at 6 o'clock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.